so good. Well, you got a little insert to go along with the sermon today. I find at times that Scripture is very prescriptive. It's medicine to our soul. It's like a doctor who writes a prescription. And this passage of Scripture this morning, I find to be a great prescription. And we'll look at it. Are we enjoying Jonah so far? I hope so. I hope so. He's an amazing man. Not a really good prophet, but he's got so much to teach us and so much to share with us. And so if you want to turn to Jonah this morning in your Bible, if you find Amos, hang a right. Then you'll find Obadiah, then hang another right, and then you will find Jonah. Father, we are so privileged this morning to be in the presence of an ever-loving and an ever-giving Father. And as we look into your word, may your word look into us. May it examine our hearts, renew our minds, transform our lives by the power of your word. And God, help this preacher, because I need you every moment. Hide me behind the cross. And Holy Spirit, speak to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So you enjoying summer so far? Well, there's kind of mixed reviews out there, but did you hear about the man who tried to lead a symphony, and he did such a bad job that they wanted to electrocute him, but they couldn't. Do you know why? He was a poor conductor. I know. Well, this morning, I have a question for you. Have any of you ever watched Jeopardy? Have you ever heard of a guy named Alex Trebek? Well, we're going to do a little Jeopardy this morning. And so, you know how it works. Alex gives the answer, and then the contestants are required to give the question. And it usually starts with, what is? Can everybody say that together? What is? Okay, so I am going to read this, but I don't want you to answer right away. If you know the answer, what I want you to do is stand up and just be quiet. Okay? And then at the end of the, we'll get to it, okay? I'll ask you the questions. Everybody got that clear? So I'm going to ask or give you the definition of a word is what. We're looking at definitions. I'm going to give you the definition. And if you know the answer, don't yell it out. Just stand up, okay? So this is the definition. To be unsuccessful in, to disappoint, to let down, or to omit to do something. I'll go over it again. Don't jump up and tell me the answer. But if you know the answer, I want you to stand up. To be unsuccessful in, to disappoint, to let down, to omit to do something. If you know that answer, then I want you to stand up. One, two, three. I'll give you another minute because I really want to do this right. You got to do it right, okay? So if you know the answer, stand up. Don't whisper to your neighbor. Don't tell them how good-looking they are. Don't thank them that they had a shower this morning. Just be silent, and if you know the answer, just stand up in the quietness of your heart. And I'm going to ask those who are standing to say it all out with one voice. On three. What is one, two, three? Failure. Give them a hand. Give them a hand. They figure. I had it all rigged up so that I could play the Jeopardy music. And I really wanted to do that, and it just disappointed me so much this morning. But anyway, we can move on. Failure. Failure. This ball player set the major league record for strikeouts with 1,316 strikeouts. And this very same player also set the record for 5 consecutive strikeouts in a World Series game. And the holder of both these records is none other than, who knows his name? Babe Ruth. Now, by all standards of the world, would we consider Babe Ruth a failure? No. But he did fail. 1,316 strikeouts. Man, he's got just as many as I do. There's no question that Jonah failed. No question. And if we're honest with ourselves, there's not a person on this planet who can say they've never failed. So what did Jonah do when he failed? You know, it's one thing to fail your fellow man, your husband, your wife, your children, and so on and so on. It's another thing to fail the Almighty, don't you think? So what did Jonah do? Well, he prayed. But it was no ordinary prayer. And so we are going to look at it. Jonah chapter 2. This is his prayer. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and the Lord heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence. Yet I will look once more towards your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. And my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Well, that's an interesting story. And some folks may look at that and say, well, that's just all fable. That's all just fantasy. That's just the overactive imagination of an Old Testament writer. But is that really true? Is that really true? Didn't Jesus say something about Jonah? For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. Jesus affirmed the reality of the Old Testament. The Bible is not a smorgasbord Chinese dinner that you can go to and say, I like that, I don't like that, I like that, I don't like that, I really don't like that, I like that, that's good. You can't do that with Scripture. It's either all God's Word or it's not God's Word. He is either Lord of all or He is not Lord at all. And so Jesus affirms the reality of this Old Testament Scripture. Now, would Jesus lie about a thing like that? If so, then He could never be the way, the truth, and the life. Because that would be a lie too, wouldn't it? And the cross would be absolutely meaningless. So Jonah's adventure is neither fable nor fiction. It is fact. It is fact. But before we dig into it a little more, I got some questions. And if you tracked with me through Jonah, you know I got lots of questions about this particular prophet. And one of my questions is, how come the gastric acid and the digestive enzymes inside the fish didn't eat Jonah? Do you ever think about that? Oh, man. He's in the belly. He's not in the mouth. He's in the belly of this great fish. And how come the gastric acids and the digestive enzymes aren't peeling the skin off his body? Of course, I think differently than a lot of people. But that's okay. And another thing, how come he didn't suffocate in there? I mean, he didn't have any scuba gear. He didn't have an oxygen tank strapped to the back of his shoulders. How come he didn't get eaten up or suffocate? Well, the answer, and this is only my thought is, a supernatural fish was specifically created for Jonah. Can God do that? Man, if he can walk out of a grave, he can do anything. And another question. It's always good to look at Scripture and ask questions. I do that. Why is it Jonah doesn't pray until he gets in trouble? Let me prod it a little bit more. Why is it people don't pray until they get in trouble? You know, I think I got an answer to that one. I'm not sure. I think it's because we all believe that we are in control of our world until our world gets out of control. I think we believe that we're all in control until our world gets out of control. And you know what that tells me? That just tells me that we never really believed we were in control in the first place. If we could call out to Him. Every human being looks outside of himself when life gets out of control. And I believe that is a built-in faith trigger that God has downloaded into the DNA of every man, woman, and child on this earth because He wants all men to reach out to Him. He doesn't care how, as long as they do. And it seems that suffering and difficulties are those catalysts that bring us to our knees and realize that we can't do this on our own. We can't make it. Now, some of us are just too slow and stubborn to get it. Me, it was 27 years later. Only took me 27 years, so for some of us it wasn't quite that long. For others it may have been longer, but for me it was 27 years before I realized and recognized that little Bobby Axe isn't in control of this world. That the sun ain't going to set if he doesn't wake up. This world is run by an almighty God who loves us more than we can imagine. Now, that's all the questions I've got for now. I got a real good one at the end of the message. But we're going to wait for that one. So let's look at Jonah's prayer because it is absolutely loaded with all kinds of stuff. First of all, it gives us three reasons to seek God when we fail him. And so if you got a pen and you want to fill in these blanks, that's just what we're going to do. We're going to fill in these blanks. And I hope that in some small way this will be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. First of all, it gives us three reasons why we should seek God when we fail God. This passage is not simply about a big fish that swallows a prophet. It's not about a prophet who used Trivago and booked three nights at the Holiday Inn. And it's not the story about a man who failed God. It's a story about a God who never fails man. Never fails man. Yes, Jonah fails. And yes, God disciplines him like any good father. But God never, ever abandons Jonah. And as we've seen in the first chapters, and we're going to see all through the book of Jonah, God is continually pursuing this man, chasing after him, trying to get a hold of his attention. And while we're talking about discipline, file this in your notes if you want to. Discipline is not for bad people. Discipline is for bettering people. Discipline is not for bad people. Discipline is for bettering people. Justice and punishment, they're for bad people. Jonah's not a bad person. He's just a person who made a bad decision. I fall into that campground. How about you? Albeit Jonah made a huge mistake by disobeying God. But God isn't out to tear him down. He's out to build him up. And he's out to better him as a man of God. And that's what God wants to do with all of us. Make us better. Encourage us, strengthening us, helping us, journeying with us through this walk of faith. And that's what he does. And that's why he sent Jesus. And that's why Jesus came, not to beat us down, but to build us up, to restore the fellowship that was broken by sin, and to save us from ourselves. There's a song in the Christian network, and I don't remember the name of it, but these words, this one lyric, this one line, just gets me all the time, and maybe you've heard it, and if you know the name of the song, please let me know what it is. But the singer is saying, "No one hurts me like I do, but no one loves me like you do. No one hurts me like I do. No one loves me like you do." And that's good news. So let me give you three reasons to seek God when we fail him. Boy, that picture, I can hardly see that. Anyway, it's a picture of a man with his head and his hands over there. It's not me, but three reasons. First reason, first blank. Number one, verse 2, he answers. He answers. God answered Jonah's prayer, did he not? Look at verse 10. Jonah's not in the fish anymore, right? God answered his prayer. But we need to notice something here. How long was Jonah in the fish? 3 days and three nights in the Holiday Inn. 3 days and three nights. Was his prayer answered immediately? No. Was his prayer answered? So what's the point? Here's the point. The answer to prayer doesn't always come right away, but it always comes. The answer to prayer doesn't always come right away, but it always comes. I don't know what you're praying about right now. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through, but I know this. The answer is on the way. And I don't know what that does for you, but that gives me hope. That inspires me to keep on keeping on. Because God is faithful and God is good. The answer to your prayers doesn't always come right away. I would like it to come like yesterday. But it always comes. It always comes. God answers our prayer. He hears. When my granddaughter was 2.5, 3 years old, her name's Brooke. And she's a beautiful girl. But when she was 2.5, 3 years old, she had this growth in the middle of her sternum. Is that what they call that, doctor? Is that your sternum? Or what is that? I was going to call it your breastplate, but I don't know. But yeah. Right here. And the doctors didn't know what it was, and they didn't know what to do, and it wasn't going away, so they took her to the hospital in London, and they removed it. She was 2.5, 3 years old, and they took it out. I think it was March. Was it March, Joanne? Or Joanne's counting money. She's always counting money. She never hears me preach. Maybe there's a reason for that. Anyway, March or April, this thing come back. And it was as big as my thumb, and it stuck out about an inch from the middle of her chest. Now, I want everybody who is part of our EPIC group to stand. EPIC, stand. If you come out to our EPIC things, I want you to stand. That's for the 55 and better. It's always better. We took this thing to prayer. See these folks? We took it to prayer on Saturday night. Tuesday, it was gone. Vanished. Thank you, EPIC. There is power in prayer. Little Brooke, she's going, oh. And Papa just says, honey, it's God. You may not get the answer right away, but the answer's coming. Don't give up. Like so many of us tend to do, moi included. So, number one, why should we seek God after we fail? Well, he answers. And that's found in verse 2. And if you read verse 2 again, and let me just read it again. It says, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and the Lord heard me. Heard me. Some translations say, listen. So, second point is, number one, he answers. Number two, he listens. Well, how do you know God answered Jonah's prayer? Because God listened to him. I know this sounds very simplistic, but you can't save if you don't hear a cry for help. I mean, you can't. Again, in verse 10, right? Jonah's out of the fish, puked up on shore. That's kind of graphic, Pastor. Well, read the original language and it might be something like that. I know it's simple, but it's powerful. God cannot answer prayer if he doesn't listen to us. What did Jonah testify to in verse 2? I called to you from the land of the dead, and the Lord heard me. Saints, I don't know what you're praying for, but I know this, God's listening. He's not sitting on a cloud in some far, far away galaxy. He's as close as a mention of his name, one who sticks closer than a brother. He's here this morning. God listens. So, God answers, God listens, and then we need to pop down to verse number 6 and find out the third. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. But you, O Lord God, snatched me from the jaws of death. So tell me, did Jonah drown? No, no, no. Did the gastric acids and digestive enzymes inside that fish melt the flesh off of his body? No. Did Jonah suffocate or die? No. Why? Because God listens, God answers, and God possesses limitless power to meet any circumstance. That was a good point, Pastor Bob. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I know it's summertime. You're waiting for those Frosties from Wendy's. But just stick with me just a few more minutes. God answers, God listens, God saves. Why do we go to him after we fail? Because he answers, he listens, he saves. He answers, he listens, he saves. Get that down into your spirit. Get it down into your heart. Because God is able to meet our every need. Jonah says, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Now, those are three good reasons to call out to God when we fail. He listens, he answers, and he saves in miraculous ways. And that's good news. But we're far from done with this particular passage of Scripture and Jonah's prayer. Now, we can't honestly say we know how Jonah is feeling. Because it doesn't tell us specifically Jonah was feeling bummed out. Jonah, it doesn't. It doesn't tell us specifically. And we can only venture to make some thoughts and some suggestions. But in reading and rereading this passage, this chapter, we can pick up some possibilities. In verse 2, Jonah cried out. Jonah cried out. I mean, he's having a bad day. He cried out. So maybe, just maybe he was a little bit scared. Put yourself in his sandals. You just got swallowed by a big stinking fish. Do you think you might be a little bit scared? A little bit afraid? I was watching the news last night. I think it was down in Florida. They were on the beach, and everybody had just backed off onto the beach because there was a 20-foot hammerhead shark. Just you didn't see people running in there, oh, the nice little sharky, let's go play with him. No, they were scared spitless. So do you think, maybe there might just be a possibility that Jonah was scared or fearful. Jonah called. He called out to you in verse 2, from the land of the dead. What was he thinking when he said, from the land of the dead? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out, does it? I'm calling out to you from the land of the dead. I am toast. I am done. This is over. I'm going to see God, I hope, because I failed him. Do you think that he might feel a little bit abandoned? Do you think he might be suffering a little bit from depression? Do you think I called out from the land of the dead. Oh, I'm dead. Do you think he might be a little bit? Well, verse 3, 4, and 5, if we read those over, you may be able to surmise from that he was feeling a bit helpless, maybe a bit rejected. And I say that a bit. Because I wasn't there. And then maybe in verse 6
as we read verse 6, he might be feeling a bit hopeless. So let me just recap a bit. Scared, fearful, abandoned, depressed, helpless, rejected, and hopeless. Anybody ever feel that?
Yeah, one person. Okay. Yeah, all right. We do, for a moment, and times do feel that way, don't we? We do experience those things. However, there's five, and this is where we get to the next part. There's five jewels in this particular prayer of Jonah's traumatic experience. Five steps to walking out of, overcoming, and recovering from feelings of fear. And so, before we look at it, let me just pause for a moment and say this. Feelings of failure are more than just feelings of failure. Feelings of failure are more than just feelings of failure. Let me explain. I have found in my own traumatic journey over feelings of failure, because I grew up in a home where my dad would constantly belittle me, constantly compare me with my brothers, constantly say, you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, you're never going to amount to nothing, Bob, you're just useless, and so on and so forth, and so on and so forth, and so on and so forth. And if you hear that enough times, you start to believe it. 18 years growing up, that's all I ever heard. That's all I ever heard. So I've walked through some traumatic feelings of failure. I haven't arrived, but God is good. But I've discovered this. I've found in my own journey that that voice that is saying I'm a failure is not my voice. And that voice that is saying I'm a failure is not God's voice. That voice belongs to the accuser of the brethren. And the enemy of our souls looks for an opening. Looks for an opening. It doesn't have to be a big opening, just a small opening in the fabric of my faith. But when he gets that little opening, he rushes in with all of hell's fury to tear my faith apart. Anybody ever identified with that? Say amen. It's real. It's real. But it's not my voice. It's not God's voice. It's the enemy's voice. So when he points his spiny little finger at me and says, loser, I've learned a mechanism that helps me. When that happens, I've learned to say, thank you, devil, for reminding me of my weakness. You're right, I failed, and I thank you for reminding me that Jesus took that on the cross. I'm forgiven, and I know God's word tells me when I am weak, he is strong. So back to hell with you, devil, and it works. So next time you get those accusations, say, thank you, devil, for reminding me Jesus took it on the cross. I am forgiven. I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. I am able to do all that he has called me, empowered me to do, because he supplies all of my needs. Stop listening to that stupid little voice. It isn't God's. And it isn't yours. It's the enemy. It's the enemy. Do you need a scripture to back that up? Well, yes, Pastor. Give me a scripture.
Okay. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. It says something like this. Jesus sends out the disciples and he says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the works of the devil. All the works of the devil. I have given you authority over all the works of the devil. Nothing shall harm you. You know what? I got the t-shirt. I do. It's my YWAM t-shirt. Authorized. Can you see that? Authorized. to kick the devil's butt. Oh, come on. Jesus said it. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Here's the t-shirt. And we need to get that into our spirit. Because we so flippantly and casually quote it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Until the toast gets burnt and the car don't start and the boss is being a jerk. Other than that, I can do all things. No, come on. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know what some of you guys need to do? You need, let's see, what's my left and my right? Left, right. You need to give the devil the right foot of fellowship. Because he's got some of you so bottled down. When this worship team gets up here, we should be dancing.
Oh, but I'm a Anglo-Saxon Hungarian white man. Wait, man, don't dance.
No. White man just don't dance very well. They still dance. We have something to celebrate, saints. And some of us come into church Sunday morning and look like we're baptized in pickle juice. Come on. Where's your joy? Where's your joy? And you look like you've been sucking on a lemon for the last 17 days. I don't know. Let go. Because God has delivered you. God has set you free. God has brought you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son whom he loves. God has made a way for you to be with him forever. That's something to worship about. And don't clap for me. Clap for him. Clap for him. Clap for him. Because he's worthy. And I'm just learning this stuff. And I'm 61 years old. And I've lost all my hair. But God is good.
And I got the t-shirt.
Where was I? Sometimes I get carried away. Joanne tells me that. Maybe that's why she's not here. I can't help it, saints. I just get excited about what God... A one-inch lump in the middle of my granddaughter's chest. Gone. No doctor, no medicine, no injection, no surgery. Gone by the power of prayer because he's able to do it. And so that excites me. So we need to come in here Sunday and be excited. You may not have had something removed from you, but let me tell you, your breath is a gift from God. If you're here and you're still breathing and you're still walking, that's a gift from God, and you need to rejoice. You need to rejoice. I gotta stay on topic. By the way, as a side note, those of you who are taking Leadership Essentials with me later, we're going to try and meet at 12:30. It's my commercial, 12:30. Oh, Bob, keep her going. Okay. So, how do we come back when we fail God? Number one on the set, call out to God. Verse 2, call out to God. It says, I cried out to the Lord. I called out to you. Call out to God. Just give him another chance. Number two, verse four. Yet I will look once more. Yet I will look once more. So look once more to him. Give him another chance. Jonah says, yet I will look once more. Step two, look to God again. Don't give up on him because he never, ever gives up on you. Don't give up on him. Give him another chance. So, call out to him. Look to him again. Verse 7, I remembered the Lord, Jonah says. I remembered the Lord. Step three, when you start looking to God again, don't forget that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't forget to look back and see what he's brought you through. See how he's carried you. See what he's done for you. See the prayers that he's answered. Don't forget to look back because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, call out to God. Look once more to him. Remember the Lord, what he did in the past. Number three, remember the Lord. Remember him. Number four, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. Number four, worship him. You know, you can get yourself out of a lot of stuff by just worshiping him. Feelings and all kinds of stuff. What does he do? I will offer to you with songs of praise. I will offer sacrifices with you to songs of praise. So number one, call out to God. Look once more to him. Number two, remember what he's done. And remember, when you start remembering what he's done, you can't help but worship him. You can't help but worship him. It's who he is. He's a good, good father. It's who he is. It's who he is. And I'm loved by him. It's who I am. It's who I am. I'm loved by him. I'm loved by him. I'm loved by him. I'm loved by him. So worship him. And number five, he says in verse 9, I will fulfill my vows. Step five, what's Jonah saying? I failed. I messed it up. But I'm calling out to you. I'm looking once more to you. I'm remembering what you've done. I worship you. And now I'm going to recommit myself to you. That's what Jonah is saying. He's saying, I will fulfill my vows. Sometimes life gets so tough and so difficult, you wonder if God is really there. You wonder if he really hears. You wonder. When I had to bury my 2.5-year-old son, I really wondered. But God is good. I don't wonder anymore. Because I know. Aaron said, I'm going to see Jesus. And son, one of these days we're all going to see Jesus. And with all the sternness and the seriousness in a 3-foot, 2.5-year-old, he said, I'm going to see Jesus. And a month later, he did. Did I get angry? I'm Hungarian. We all get angry. Did I yell at God? Did I swear at him? Yeah. But he understands. And it wasn't for a number of months later, I was walking along, and God spoke to me, and he says, I know what it's like to bury a son. So don't worry. We got this. You may wonder in your journey of faith if God really cares. He does. He always has, and he always will. So when you feel like you're a failure,
Who thought this thing up? Kids.
I know that's old school now. They don't do that anymore, but
that is a lie. You are God's masterpiece. And he loves you with an unfailing eternal love. So when you fail him, call out to him again. Look to him once more. Remember what he's done. Worship him and say, okay, God, I'm sorry. Let's start over again. That's how we come back from failure. And don't forgive this. Don't forget this. God gives Jonah a second chance. And we'll look at that in chapter 3 the next time that I preach. But I've got a confession to make and an observation that I've noticed in my life. God doesn't give second chances. He gives thirds, fourths, fifths, sixths, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tens, and elevens, and so on, so forth. As long as you go back to him, he's just waiting for you to come back to him. Maybe I wrote the rule book on how many times you can fail. I don't know. But I know God is always there with arms wide open. Saying, welcome back, son. Let's start again. Yes, sir. Let's start again. The fear of failure can cripple a believer. But everything he or she could ever want is on the other side of that fear. Because God is on the other side of that fear. Because on the other side of that failure is another chance with God. I ran across this quote by Jack Canfield, and it says this. It says, everything you want is on the other side of fear. Everything you want, everything you need is on the other side of that fear. And some of us are stuck on the side of fear. That fear can manifest itself in many ways. And some of us just need to take a step. Because it's only one step of faith. One step. Some of us are stuck on the side of fear. You need to take one step and step into faith. Some of us are stuck on this side of loneliness. Some of us just need to take one step into the joy of the Lord. Some of us are stuck in pain. Some of us just need to take one step into the provisions of God. Some of us are stuck in discouragement. You need to just step into the joy of Jesus. Some of us are stuck. But we coddle our stuckness. And we let fear hold us back. I look across this room. There is so much potential in here. It's a wonder Orangeville isn't all saved yet. But when you look in that mirror, oh, I can't do that. I can't share my faith. I'm too shy. I can't do this. I can't do that. Who said you can't? Let's go back to the voice thing. Is that God's voice saying you can't? No, because he says you can do all things. So is that you saying you can't? Partly, yeah. Because that's normally stuck in fear. But most of those things that say you can't do this come from one source. They come from the enemy, because the moment he knows he can keep you down, he knows that he can keep you from rising up. And he wants us to rise up. Step onto the other side. Are we done yet? Pretty soon. Pretty soon. I have some lessons from Jonah's prayer that'll help us fill in these last final things. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff in this 10 verses. I'm just brushing the surface. I've got some lessons from Jonah's prayer that helped me. 4 lessons on God's love for us. I love that picture. 4 lessons on God's love for us. Even in his failure, verse 1 says, Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, inside the fish, and he said, so on and so forth. Even in his failure, God, number 1, protected him in the fish. Even in his failure, God protected him. Number 2, even in his failure, God accepted him. Number 2, verses 2-6, because God listened, God answered, and God saved. If God had rejected Jonah, he would have done none of those things. But because God accepted Jonah, God accepted him in his failure. Because in his eyes, Jonah was not a failure. Jonah was a work in process. I look in the mirror and I see every morning a work in process. So even in his failure, number 2, God accepted him. Number 3, even in his failure, Jonah was, number 3, favored by God. Because God listened, God answered, and God saved Jonah. What is that? That's an expression of the Lord's unmerited favor. That's an expression of God's unrelenting love. You are highly favored. That's who you are. That's who you are, even in his failure. God protects Jonah. God accepts Jonah. God favors Jonah. And finally, even in his failure, God restores Jonah. God restored Jonah. Verse 10, he got another chance. He got spit up on the shore. So 4 lessons about God's love for you and me when we fail. Number one, God protects us. God accepts us. God favors us because God wants to restore us. Are you getting this? But you know, as good and as wonderful and as instructive as Jonah's prayer is, there's one humongous thing that is missing in this prayer. Can anybody tell me what it is? There's one humongous thing missing in this prayer. Now, I know that you know it. It's this. Jonah didn't say he was sorry. Jonah didn't repent. Big question. Why didn't Jonah say, he's in this fish for 3 days. You give him an opportunity to think this through. He's got lots of time to think. Let's see. God asked me to go to Nineveh. I said, no, I think I'll go to Tarshish. I'll go 2,500 miles the other way. Well, a big storm comes up. Let me see. Am I remembering this correctly? Yeah, big storm came up, and the sailors in the ship, because I screwed up, they got saved. Thank you, Jesus. That's good. But did he say he was sorry? No. Did he repent? You would think, stuck in a fish, you would say, God, I blew it big time. Will you forgive me? But he didn't say that.
Why? You'd think he'd be repenting sitting on the sand covered with fish spit. You'd think he would be repenting. You'd think he'd be kissing the ground. You'd think he'd be praising God and thank you, God. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So what is up with Jonah? Why is he acting this way? Why didn't he repent? Why didn't he say he's sorry?
We'll have to wait till the next time we look at Jonah.
But for now, how are you doing? Is there a prayer that you need to pray? Is there a confession that you need to make? Is there a promise you need to stand on? Is there a step you need to take? God is here. Worship team, please come. How are you doing? Is there a prayer that you need to pray? Is there a confession that you need to make? Is there a promise you need to stand on? My God shall supply all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will grant you the desires of your heart. Is there a promise you need to stand on? Or is there a step you need to take? If that's a prayer request for anybody in this room, could you be so courageous in the group of fellow believers and just stand and say, yeah, I need prayer. We got one. We got two. What, you see, that's what I'm thinking, Antonella. I'm thinking that we all need prayer. But fear has kept us glued to the seat. Because of pride. God will meet your need, but he'll only meet you when you're ready to step there. I stand before you as a man who needs prayer every stinking day. Ask Joanne. She's writing a novel about this guy. I need prayer every day, saying, I haven't arrived. For those of you that have arrived, thank you. You got it all together. I'm so happy for you. But for those of us who just ain't got it all together, am I being a little pushy this morning? Yeah, sometimes I should come and I should ask you to bring your hard hats and your steel toes, because sometimes I step on toes and sometimes I hit on people's heads, but it's not me. God loves you more than you could ever imagine. He just wants you to take a step. It's one step. It's one step. It's one step. Father, we are so thankful for the cross. So thankful that, as that old hymn says, Calvary covers it all. That by your blood we've been redeemed. And that you are constantly pursuing us like you're pursuing Jonah. Because you want to make him a success. You want to make him a man of God who will bring a message to a people. And as we will see in the last chapter, 120,000 people get saved because one man said four words. God, you're not here to beat us up or to tear us down. And I know sometimes it may seem like that, but it's never like that. You're here to build us up and to make us better. Because you've got a plan. We're not saved to warm a pew. We're saved to go and make disciples who go and make disciples who go and make disciples who go and make disciples.
So I thank you for those who stand. You know their journey. You know what they're in right now. You know what they're facing. You know what they've been praying. But God, assure them that the answer is on the way and that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask and all that we could think. I want to thank you, your people, God, for being patient with me. Because sometimes I get a little bit excited. But God, you're a good father. And I'm blessed to be part of an amazing family here at Broadway. So Lord, bless each one today. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And meet every one of those needs. I thank you. And the church said, amen, amen. We are going to